Let's quickly switch gears, guys, and I'll tell you what. I mean, his name has certainly been a hot topic in this country over the past couple of weeks, man, since he took office, when he said, "I solemnly swear," what. Now, mostly because he speaks his mind. His latest comments have sparked conflicting reactions, though. Some agree with him, others disagree. And I'd like to hear about his first month as the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture. He just reminded me off air, says this is his first radio interview. Let's check in with the Honourable Minister, Gayton McKenzie. Good to see you, sir. Welcome to the show.
No, thank you. Thank you, Robert, man. It's a great pleasure to be here. And I'm excited to be on your show. And yeah, it is my first one. Who can say no to you, man?
Hey, you're the minister now. You can tell us. You can tell us, hey, you know, get away. I don't need this thing in my life. You were adorned in Team South Africa. I actually thought you were either doing javelin, shot put, or weightlifting. The colors look great on you. You're fresh from Paris. What is that experience like? We've got a big race tonight. Tatiana Smith is in the water. And what a fine, fine moment for South Africa together with Kaelin Corbett.
Now, let me tell you, you know, Paris is fantastic. When I say fantastic, I'm talking about a spirit. We've got what we call a Kaya house for the people that are there that can't afford the tickets. Mm. And then we all get together at the Kaya house, eating South African food, listening to South African music. The athletes are coming there to come and greet the South Africans and the people that's from South Africa that lives abroad. I can tell you, you know, for me, it was just phenomenal how, you know, South African, being a South African is a feeling.
Yeah.
Walking around there, you know, we got different houses there. You have Ikaya being one, you have the American house, you got the Japanese house, all of them. But the people come to South Africa's house because of the vibe. They don't, some even don't even understand the language,
yes.
But they're there. And I'm like, guys, you're just finishing our food. Our budget is not so big.
Your budget is always, you know, subject to somebody taking it, whether legally or illegally.
That's true.
Is there a surplus in terms of budget? I mean, talking about budget, what have you found? And because you were so quick off the mark, immediately there was money issues, there was all sorts of things. What's the surplus? What's the budget that sport has?
No, I think first, before I tell you that, I just want to, just the last part of your first question was, you know, if Tatiana, not if, this tonight, I want every South African to watch.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you tonight, history is going to be made. And it wouldn't just be a gold medal. It will be a third gold medal. She'll be defending, she'll be the first Olympian to defend a first gold medal, a first title she got. She will also be the greatest Olympian this country has ever produced. If she gets old, then she'll have 3 medals. And I mean, like, she's a star. She's a humble lady.
Yes.
She loves people. She loves God. She prays all the time. She prays for other athletes. She's just living what a faith.
Yes.
And I'm telling you tonight, she's going to get gold. I got no doubt in my mind. She's got gold. Tonight, we're going to get gold. And we're going to get silver. Corbin is going to be right then behind her. And if she has a bad day tonight, we're still getting gold because our number two will gold is coming home tonight. That's all I want to say.
Oh, man. I love that positivity, though, because you're absolutely right. Even Penny Haynes mentioned it the other day. He says, already with the previous race, that she's become the greatest Olympian
in
this
history.
Country. Has ever seen.
And tonight, people, you shouldn't miss the fact that, you know, that you can tell your kids when they speak about the greatest athlete this country has ever produced. Watch what's happening tonight. Tatiana's going to make us all proud in South Africa. I'm telling you, it's good being a South African. And then you talk about the budget. You know, it's very sad what's happening in South Africa. I think the saddest thing at times is how does government, you know, government in its own gets blamed.
Right.
But it is the deployees. How do you send money back? Let's start there.
Back to the fiscus.
Yes, back to the fiscus.
Yeah.
Then when you don't use the money, national government gets blamed. Treasury gets blamed. The government gets blamed for that this government is not performing. But the people like us that gets the money and can't spend the money. How do you? It's criminal to receive money. If you are, let's say, Minister of Health and you send money back, and then people don't have ambulances. If I'm the Minister of Sport, I'm telling you, they don't know what they did by making Minister of Sport. There will be nothing to send back. There will be 2 cents left.
But what are you going to do with the money so school that there sport. Is nothing?
No, school sport.
You're plugging it into school sport. Is that your primary focus is school sport?
You have to. You know, Robert, let me tell you. You know, netball and soccer, yes. Football. It's a non-white person. You're born with only those 2 things.
Let's change that narrative quickly.
Yes.
Can I correct you, Minister?
No, I want to say to you something.
No, but can I correct you?
Yes.
There's no non-white anything. You as a black person. Because when you start to say non-white, you are negating that is not.
Most people understand. I'm trying to get to a point.
I hear you,
let
Minister.
Let me finish my point. At the end of the day, you'll understand. You're speaking my language.
I hear
but
you.
But I'm getting somewhere.
Okay, let's get to it.
White people are born with a rugby ball. Most of them. And they cultivate that until they get a lot of people being professional.
Right.
Black people. Somewhere, somehow, we get lost in the system. And the engine room of sport is in schools. The engine room that gives birth to sports stars is in schools. Now, when you look at the advantage schools that's got all this money and where most of our children go to.
The private schools. Yeah.
They have what you call the engine room is alive. My job as a sports minister is to make sure that arts, culture, and sport get recognition in schools. Because a child in sport is a child out of court. That's my saying for this term of mine.
Right.
So I'm saying to you that money is going to go to where it, you know, usually I was looking at people traveling all the time and going overseas. You see the entourages that used to go overseas, that time is over. You know, I went overseas. Now I went to Paris. People are shocked that I'm back. They're like, I'm fit. What are you doing here at the Olympics? I'm like, I've got work to do.
Yes.
I went there. I only managed to watch 2 games.
Two events.
Yeah. 2 events. I managed to watch the hockey. I managed to watch the 3 events. The sevens, I managed to watch the gymnast, Caitlin.
Yes.
And I came back. I wanted to watch swimming. Everybody says the medals are going to start rolling in with swimming. But I understood that it doesn't make me better. It's not a great thing I did by coming back to work. It should become the norm that we should spend money on the athletes, on the sport, on culture. And people that say no sport gets all the attention, that's actually not true. If you look at the 6 billion we get, the majority of that money goes to arts and culture. And that was the biggest shock for me.
But then the arts and culture people are saying that they don't get the money. They don't even get a trickling of that money. So how do you balance that if it's supposed to go to arts and culture, but the artists are saying, hey, look at us.
I think you're hitting a nerve when you say that. And I'll tell you why. Because that's the message I got when I became the minister.
And that's a correct message.
And I went there. Yeah, I can tell you it's a semi-correct message.
Yeah?
It's a semi-correct message. I went there and I asked, what happened to the money? Why don't you give the artists money? They plead in poverty. They can't pay medical aid. They can't pay for their own funerals. They didn't make provision. They can't pay for funeral cover. And I was told this story and this story. I said, no, let's do this. Let's start showing, because you say you gave this one money, you gave that one money. I said, let's show the public. And that's what we are doing now. And people are complaining and we haven't even started yet. From COVID days, we are bringing out who got money. The problem and the truth that we must also tell here today, there was corruption in their department.
The Department of Sports, Arts and Culture? At what level?
At all levels.
From the minister?
I wouldn't say the minister because there was
that's
no case.
His department.
Pardon? I mean like in the Atman.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say previous ministers didn't do something wrong or that I'm not going to say because I wasn't there. it must still be investigated. If anybody has any evidence that the previous ministers did wrong, they must come forward.
Can I push you, Minister, very quickly? In you saying that, because that is such an important part, and you got a direct line now with the president. You're part of Government of National Unity. So you have to get a hold of the president and say, listen, I actually think as the incoming Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, there should be a commission of inquiry. Because South Africans would not be able to rest easy post a pandemic if there is no proper, very clear, very transparent commission of inquiry. I mean, would you support something like that?
At this stage, I would not. I'll tell you why I would not support it. Because, you know, a commission of inquiry costs money. Second, it's important.
Yeah.
But we should not chase the wind. These things are not as difficult. We are now going, we said, we want to bring out the who got money. Immediately, there's people that said, my name is on the list, but I didn't get money. Oh. I called in audit yesterday. I called in 15 auditors in the department. I said to them, start with me if you think I got money and everyone.
Yeah.
I said to them, investigate, go attend to this thing where people said didn't get money so that I can get to the bottom of it. I have no idea how great the wrongdoing was yet. But if I find out that this is huge, this cannot just be solved by charging 10, 12, 15 people. It is then that I will approach the president and say, listen, this is way bigger. But here's the issue where I wanted to get it.
Sure.
There are people that say they didn't get money, artists that got money. Let's start there. There are people that they're no longer making music. Artists that we knew, they're no longer making music. The department is now the ATM. And people, the officials were scared of them because they'll talk about you on Facebook, on Twitter. Now they have a minister, if you say something about me, I will say back because that's my playground. I'm not going to be threatened by what you're going to say.
So people are non-musicians were getting funds from the department.
Yes.
Although they're not making any music or history of music.
A man, his neighbor, dog, his neighbor's dog and his dog, and a fax machine will write the constitution. And they'll ask for money. And they will get money. No website, no presence. Nobody knows them. We are going to get them robbed. Let me tell you. I can tell you about one incident where one person, I couldn't believe it, was paid $20 million to buy a building. Why would the department buy a building for one person? When I asked them, can you tell me, can I get the, I want to see the title deed. They say, no, we don't have it. This artist have the title deed. I said, for what? There's a big investigation ongoing now regarding that.
And the building for what?
The building is to develop artists. Another person was paid $4.5 million to teach people how to tweet, how to use social media. Like, it's a movie. It's a movie.
One individual was given $4.5
million.
On how to tweet.
When you look at what is it, how to use social media.
But is it the same person who also got funding from the lotteries board?
No, I don't know what's happening at the lotteries board at the moment.
But you would have read. I can anger
no,
you.
No, it's not the same. These are different people. The list is long. Since I've been appointed, I can tell you people have been trying to stop me from publishing this list, because they say, hey, we're going to be embarrassed. This one is going to be embarrassed. And I said to them, well, this is not a list to embarrass you.
Yeah.
This is a bragging list for us to show the world. During the most vulnerable time, COVID, we were there for artists. During the time when artists were struggling, we were there for them. There's no shame in asking your government for help. Absolutely no shame. Poor people will stand in line where everybody sees them getting 350. Why will artists have a problem to get 20,000? Once you ask public money, you open yourself up for scrutiny. Public money is not mafia money. It's not a secret. No. I am saying that what I like about the GNU, no one has come to me and said, no, you can't bring out that list. No one. And if that has to happen, I will resign. Because I believe that there's so many wrongdoing that happened in the department where sports stars were robbed, where artists were robbed, people from the heritage. The money didn't always go to where it's supposed to go. There are people here. How can a person be 30 years in the industry as a singer? And he still wants funding to develop him. Do you think Beyonce can go and stand in America and ask for money for her to be developed? We have artists here that we know for 30 years. They still get money. People say they beat poverty, but go to the Instagram. They beat poverty by us. But they're having 70,000 Louis Vuitton bags, Gucci bags. And that's the fact. And they don't want to hear that. I am saying that the money will be used to where it should go to. Mm-hmm. Venezuela invited me 2 weeks ago. And there was a long list of, when I took over, a long list of people working there that was to go with the artists, with the writers. I said, hell no. Where are you going? Did you write a book? What are you doing there? I cut myself from that list. I cut the other artists from the other people from the department. And I made them go with a small contingent. Mm. And that's how things are going to be going forward.
I want to come back and find out about the committee, because there would have been a committee that the minister then would have appointed, and that committee would have as its duty to find out who is supposed to get the funding. But that committee itself would have been paid. They wouldn't have been doing that work for nothing. They would have been paid. So who are those people? Why did they okay such crazy amounts of money? Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture in studio.
Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Bring to this Tula changes the game, more called M. Machoro.
In a certain way, you were part of the last group of players to win something at Kaizer Chiefs.
Yep.
So I think if somebody's got a kid, and that kid this year is going to be turning 10 years old, that 10-year-old has never seen Kaizer Chiefs lifting a trophy. That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
And I know preseason is preseason, but does what we saw in Bloemfontein, does what we saw with the shakeup of this technical team within Kaizer Chiefs bring any hope?
The team's back is against the wall. It's a bit tricky. Rally together, good, bad, or ugly.
I think me and Morgan, we used to bet, and he's the one that came with it. Those little things are the ones that made our game to go a bit higher.
Your guys were taking small bets, but little did you know that betting would become a sponsor.
Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW.
Hi, Rob. This is Tommy Ante from Edenville. Thank you for bringing in the sports minister to the show. Greetings, the Honorable Kato and Mackenzie. Minister, I have got two questions for you. I don't know if I followed the news well. They said you scratched the assistant which soccer supporters were getting, like Abo Porta, Abo Mama, Joy, and stuff like that. Don't you think you marginalized the football by doing that? And what informed your decision to do that? And my second question, there's social media reports saying you want to cut the foreign quota limit for PSL teams to one. Is it true? And why? What's also informing that decision, if it's true? Thank you, Rob.
All right, the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Gaetan Mackenzie. The Honourable Minister is here in studio with us. And one thing I can tell you, I had warned him. I said an hour is not going to be sufficient to cover a number of things that I want to chat to him about. And during the break, I've twisted his arm. And at the top of the hour, we will break away. But if you're still interested in continuing for another 30 minutes, I do advise you to go on the YouTube channel. It is currently up and running. People are viewing. They are sending us questions, comments. So we will extend by 30 minutes at the end of the show at 7 o'clock, as it officially does. Yeah, very quickly on this one. It's one that obviously grabbed the headlines. Mama Joy has become part and parcel of the furniture of sport, be it cricket, football, be it rugby, be it athletics, be it anything. She's there. Botha's there. They are the face of supporters. That's why they call themselves the super fans. And you've come in and immediately you said, this is not going to happen. You're going to cut the funding. They're not going to travel with the money that is there within the ministry. Is that an informed decision? Do you stick by that and why?
Yeah, it's an informed decision. I'll tell you why. Number one, South Africans are all super fans. The majority of us are super fans. We love sport. We use our last money to go watch Kaizer Chiefs and Pirates play. People will use their last money to go and watch the derby. That's a sign of a super fan.
Right.
Now, how do I, as the Minister of Sport, explain the fact that the hockey team must sell vault rolls to get to the Olympics? How do I explain, as a sports minister, that some athletes are struggling with, the Paralympic athletes are struggling with money, with transport to get them to go train?
Mm.
How do I explain the fact that teams didn't have sufficient time to train because of financial reasons? And I pay business class seats, 5-star hotels, for Mama Joy and for Buerta and for the superfans. What people must also understand, there's a panel of superfans, mm-hmm. a panel to choose from. But that panel has only been choosing the same people. That on its own is already, for me, corruption. Because why you have a panel if you're only going to choose the same people?
But who's in the panel?
Other superfans.
So you superfans choosing other superfans?
No. There was a program of superfans. Mama Joy, we must not act like Mama Joy and them. I'm a sports person, you're a sports person. I go to games, I see superfans running. It can be cold. You'll walk there without a T-shirt.
Yeah.
In all sports, those guys that you know, they are crazy. Like a Bani Ami and whatever.
Yes.
Now, Mama Joy, how do I spend $1.3 million for hotel accommodation, for food, for the... While the very same people that they are wanting to go and support can't get there. Am I crazy? I can't do that. I can't spend money on supporters. I'm not a minister of supporters. I'm the minister of sport. And as sport, the supporters, which I'm part of,
right.
wants to see their stars. Now the stars are still struggling with taxi money to get there, transport money. While they are now sipping champagne on the plane, I can't do that. I don't regret my decision. I stand by my decision. And I'm glad to see somebody paid for Mama Joy to be there. They're showing us she's in love and she's got has met a man there.
Well, it's Papa Joy. It's almost a direct way of saying to you that, you know, I can be there.
She should have done that a long time ago. Yeah. What type of a man is there that can't pay for his woman? Now we must pay for their love. We are not all you need is love. We are the sports department. If I want my girlfriend to come anywhere, I'll pay as a man. Let that that Frenchman, he's got euros. Let him pay for his love, because then they can take those nice pictures and stuff like that. I'm very happy for Mama Joy. I love Mama Joy,
mm-hmm.
but I love my job more. And my job requires me to empower sport, arts, and culture people.
So what if somebody says, what about the visibility, you know, showcasing the colorful nature, like super fans, for example? I'm playing devil's advocate here. You got Africa Cup of Nations, for example. You got traveling fans, those that will dress up in whatever kit. Then they get rewarded as the super fan of the match or the super fan of the tournament, like they've done in the past, to say that they're there to almost represent when South Africans can't afford to go to an Abidjan or go to an Egypt or anywhere else where games are being played. But they give the visibility and the color in the grandstand.
No, South Africa does not need those things. You know, Mama Joy goes around and saying the Springbok players lost because she wasn't there. You can't disrespect the talent of players like
yeah.
that. That's just nonsensical. Rob, we don't have time for nonsense.
Mm.
We can't have... People are not going there to see the color. They're going there to see their team win. And if you want to see South Africans' vibrancy, come and build our tourism and visit us. And if you love something so badly, I love football. I would watch the Champions League final. I would watch the semi-final. I will travel to go and watch it because I'm a super fan. So she must make a super plan to get there, and I'm glad she made the super plan. That man should have paid a long time ago for his love to be there. We are not in the business of, we're not the ministry of finding love. We want...
Let's talk about the love of a couple of federations, sport.
Yes.
One of the ones that you've had conversations with is the South African Football Association.
Yes.
For example. I'm going to try touch on the cricket. We've seen what happened in the recent World Cup. I'll touch on the rugby. I'll touch on all of these key points that we need to touch on as well. But let me start off with SAFA. What have you made of SAFA? They've been in the headlines for all of the wrong reasons. We believe that they're also very bankrupt. Right now, they don't have money.
Right. Firstly, I've had one meeting with SAFA. I'm having another meeting with SAFA on.
Yeah.
On Monday at 8 p.m. I'm having a meeting with SAFA Monday, 8 p.m. What I know about SAFA is the negativity I read in the newspapers. But my job requires me, because I've got more access than the normal person on the street, than the journalist. Firstly, I told SAFA what I want as the Minister of Sport, because I represent the people. I said, number one, SAFA should qualify for the African Nations Cup. Number two, they got to qualify for the World Cup. Number three, we've got to help them to get the Women's World Cup and the Women's AFCON Cup to South Africa. Those are the deliverables that we've set. Our meeting Monday, well now, because this was an introductory meeting.
Right.
We met the people. We met the whole SAFA team. I think there was like 20 of them. We met everybody from the different provinces. Now we're going to meet with them on a much deeper level. We want to understand, what did the Hawks do at your office? Because to protect the... So I don't want to jump the gun. But I'm saying to you, the first meeting, we were very clear with SAFA what we want from them. And I must tell you, Denis Jordan, all the questions we asked him then, and our demands, he didn't argue and say, no, that's not possible. We're not going to be able to do that. And you judge a man by what you ask him to do. And if he fails to do that, it's now then you bring out the guillotine and say, no, you are not, even yourself, if you can't deliver on the things that you've agreed with us,
right,
you're going to deliver on. Secondly, we are now delving deeper into, the same with Boxing SA. Met with them, told them the problems is there. So I'm saying to you that I was shocked this morning when somebody told me I'm not yet a month in the job.
No.
I said, what?
No.
And I was like, but I've met most of the federations. I was making a joke the other day. I said to my son, I said, I was one of the people that said ministers get paid too much money. If you see the workload here, I must withdraw those who...
You still believe ministers get paid a lot of money?
No, I don't believe it. These people work. I can promise you that.
What do you get paid?
Well, I think ministers get, before deductions, around 200,000 a month. This is before deductions.
It's end of the month. It's the 1st of August. Something should have rang in on your SMSs there.
Well, you get two types of people, Robert. You get those people that sit and wait for the salary to come in.
Yeah.
And then you get the others that don't wait for the salary to come in.
You just keep working.
You just work and you keep their time. You're like, let me see how much. And I'm also donating my salary to the Jocelyn Smith Foundation.
Every month.
For the next 5 years, I'll not take a salary. I will donate it every month to the Jocelyn Smith Foundation for missing children.
Yeah.
Because that's just something that touched me. And I'm in a position to be able to survive without the money because of my businesses.
Yeah.
I used to have the investments. Businesses have sold. So that's what I'm doing with my salary. But the people that do get a salary, I must tell you, as a minister, the workload is really a lot. For the first time yesterday, I only ate at 7 p.m. Not because I wasn't hungry. It was meeting after meeting with different people. There was just no time to eat. I ate at the Freedom Park.
Yes.
At 7 o'clock, I got a plate. But it was like a triple story plate. That's how hungry.
So you had to make up for it. Minister, you're in a health journey, so I think let's not eat Gottas, Baba.
That was an emergency yesterday. It was a deviation.
Well, let me go to Raim. So here's a key question I was going to ask you.
Oh, yeah, I want to answer the one guy question and answer.
Yeah.
This nonsense where they say I want to have a certain quota
yes.
of foreign players in South Africa that I only want to have a club. I've never said that. That's fake news.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say something like that.
In terms of the players, because remember,
yes,
this might lead me somewhere before I hit the news. So, Mandla, I'm going to come back to you. I'm not forgetting you, because this is going to be like a double jointed thing. Now that you talk about foreign and quotas in football, for example, when you've been in the country for a certain number of years, you then become a naturalized South African, so that you're not counted as being a South African if they're saying only five players ought right. to be. So if let's say a Serena has been in the country for about 5 years and you become a naturalized South African and you're no longer counted as a foreign person in the team. Now, Mr. McKenzie, this is part of your arts and culture side of things.
Mm-hmm.
The 66th edition of Miss SA, 10th of August, Sunbet Arena, is happening.
Right.
Do you have your invitation?
No.
Are you going?
Well, I can't go if I'm not invited. It's not a department that falls directly under us. There's still a big dispute.
Yeah.
It's a private company holding Miss South Africa.
Should that change?
Yeah, I think there should be nothing here that you cannot negotiate. I haven't had a chance to look at it and say, do we need this? Should we? Do we need this? It has never. We've never had a situation like the one we're having now with Miss Vanessa.
So with that, and again, remember pre-elections, hey, Abahambe, and then you coming back from Paris and saying, hey, we can't have a Nigerian competing in Miss SA. Do you still hold those views?
100%. The views I held before election, I'm holding it stronger now, post-election.
Hmm.
My pre-election views does not change because of being a minister. I still believe you have to be documented when you come into South Africa.
Hmm.
I still believe that's not Gaten, that's the law. And if you are not documented, you should abahambe, you should leave. You know, people that say to me, yeah, you are xenophobic. I said, until they kill your child, oh, and then we can't find the person because the person is undocumented. The issue of the young lady is, for me, I was asked upon landing.
Yes.
What do you think of the lady? I said, listen, number one, I don't have all the facts. That was my first thing I said. I don't have all the facts. But what I do know, and in 2068, I will still hold the view that no Nigerian, no Zimbabwean, no Italian, no American should become Mr. South Africa. Miss South Africa. Why then? There's Miss World for those things. There's Miss Universe for those things. But South Africa, Miss South Africa is an ambassador of the country. It's a person that will export our culture. It's a person that will export our way of life to the world. It's a person that will go and make sure people want to visit our country. All I'm saying is that I've seen videos,
mm-hmm.
number one, where she's celebrating, and there's nothing wrong celebrating with a lot of Nigerians. But when your father goes on a radio and he says that he met your mom in 2010, and then she fell pregnant in 2010, that makes you 14 years old.
Mm.
The father said, and at the end of the interview, the father was asked, do you see your daughter South African or Nigerian? The father said on the interview, I see her as Nigerian. I listened to it.
Right.
Now, I am not wanting to cast any aspersions, but that gives a bit of vibes. If my father was being asked, what am I? Then I've got no business representing Mr. South Africa, because my father says I'm not South African. But if the lady, you know, people must not mistake if you are born in South Africa, that you are South African. A cow being born in a horse stable doesn't make you a horse. And that is the law.
So what would you like to see? Because that is literally next weekend.
I would like to see, I would not like to go the route that it is taking now.
Mm.
I would like to see a more amicable atmosphere surrounding this thing. At the moment, all we're asking for is, please give us, answer our questions. It's not enough when they say one thing and the parents say another thing in the interview. It will be a travesty of justice. There's no South African that can represent America. Why do we allow things? And I'm not even saying she's Nigerian. But if you ask me today, are you South African? I'm going to say yes. Particularly when I'm going to represent South Africa. I need to give. We can't just be told by private people that is getting a lot of mileage out of this thing and South Africa is getting a lot of mileage to say, no, she's South African. The deputy minister came on TV and he explained the situation. So we are now following the correct channels. And if she's South African, I will be the first to apologize and say, if you feel that I've cast any aspersion on you, as the minister, I would like to apologize. But if she's not South African, she cannot represent us.
She can't go on stage, for example, because at the stage, she has to be part of the pageant.
She doesn't have to. Why do you mean she has to?
No, but according to the rules that they have. So that's why I was saying that for you, what would you like to see?
Corporate South Africa can't write the rules that governs us. That's the first thing we must understand. Mm. Corporate South Africa has rules in King 1, King 2, King 3, the Companies Act. But they can't tell us we are satisfied with her. Then they should get another name for this peasant. Because this is South Africa we're talking about. Imagine it is being found out, the embarrassment to South Africa, if it is being found out that this woman is not South African. It is humiliating us again on the national stage to say, look, we had a humiliation the other time.
With the bomber and the translator.
I am going right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a joke wherever you go. People are saying...
The sign language, yeah.
The sign language guy. We were made jokes. People were saying that we were the joke of the world. Now, my job as a minister is not only to wanting to... be nasty or whatever. No, that's not my job. My job is not to be nasty to people. My job is to make sure that we don't get humiliated. And you know what's the worst part? If she proves to be Nigerian, she's robbing a South African of a chance. Why are we, Stevie Wonder, about the fact that there is some vibes here? The father says that. The father said I met the
mother. So the story
The story doesn't add up.
Now, I've got to take a break, though, but if, and historically, though, we've seen that they, per lineage, there have been other Miss South Africans who had lineage maybe from a Portuguese and an Italian, and they were able to ascend and wear the crown as Miss SA as South Africans. Can't they then use that as a defense? Let's find out more.
Hashtag MSW, live now on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Mr. Majora, good to see you. Welcome. Your contract coming to an end at AmaZulu.
Mm-hmm.
Was it by mutual consent? How did that come to an end?
Obviously, Rob, like I had two seasons with AmaZulu. It was the end of my contract. It was never renewed. But I did have a word with the president, of which indicated that he still wanted me to be part and parcel of the technical team when the chairman is ready.
But do you believe that? Let's not lie to ourselves. You know, people make promises, eh? People make promises to be nice.
Everything comes to an end.
Yeah.
So my journey with AmaZulu as a player came to an end.
Hashtag MSW.
Evening, Darob. You've got the man there that South Africa, young people of South Africa have been waiting for. You know, we're tired of the lies of politicians. We're tired of people who don't walk the talk. We're tired of people who make promises, and for them to think we are fools, that's the biggest insult. Crime, mismanagement, everything. Salute to Gideon Mackenzie. You're walking the talk, my man. Hang in there. South Africa has been waiting for you for the longest time. And I wish we could have more people like you. Thank you, Darob.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to the Honorable Minister. Minister, I personally believe that our performance in any sporting code, be it good or bad, is a reflection of the leadership at the helm. You look at rugby, netball, you listen to Swimming SA President, Alan Fritz, you can hear that the sporting code is in good hands. But you go to football, you hear that players are expected to pay a subscription fee. In a country with over 26 million grant beneficiaries, that doesn't sit well with me, Minister. So I need to find out what is the role of the ministry in ensuring that sporting federations and leaders that are responsible in running these federations are held accountable in ensuring that we have optimal sporting federations across different sporting codes. I just want to hear your views around that. Wishing you all the best. Thank you so much. Teboho.
Good evening, Mr. Rob. It's Wulu Filang here, and good evening to the MSW Shoulders. Good evening to the Honorable Minister there, Mr. Gideon Mackenzie. First of all, congratulations on your post. And I'm just going to get right to the point. There's a sad story of clubs being sold, clubs having their history die down. Is there anything that the ministry can do about that? Or what? Do you have to go directly to SAFA and ensure that their house is in order? Because at the rate that clubs are being sold, statuses being sold, history of the clubs being sold. It is very worrying and it is very concerning. So what can the ministry do about that? Because at the rate that it is going, literally, it's going to go down to a point where even the big three, they'll sell their status and it is going to be renamed as something else. So what is the ministry going to do about that? Gracious as always. Thanks.
Evening 947. So great to have the Minister of Sports there. And what he said about super fans is absolutely spot on. There is no way that the Mama Joys of this world can year in and year out take from South Africans, willingly take from South Africans. A country as wealthy as America doesn't have no super fans. There are no super fans that are being flown in and flown out here. Come now. What the minister is doing is absolutely correct. We are patriotic South Africans and we don't get to get there. Thank you.
Good evening, Tarop, and good evening to the Honorable Minister, Mr. Katie McKenzie. So great having you say in the building. So great hearing from you. We've been looking forward to this conversation as MSW shareholder. Quick question for you, sir. What are your short-term and long-term objectives as a Minister of Sport? Also, what stringent measures are you putting in place in ensuring that our national team, particularly Bafana Bafana, go back to its glory days and being a power force on the African continent as well as in the world? Thank you, sir. Bongani.
Right, Bongani, thank you so much indeed. We're heading to, 6 minutes to the hour. As I said, that we will wrap up the show at exactly 7 o'clock. But stick around, though, if you're on the YouTube channel or if you're not yet, we do have an extra buy-in from the minister to be with us for another 30 minutes. So we'll go until 7:30. So flick through to the YouTube channel at exactly 7 o'clock. We will have more conversations. We'll try to get through as many of those voice note questions as possible. Mandla, I did promise you. I do thank you for your patience. Good evening.
Good evening to your guest, the Minister.
Yeah, go ahead. You've got a very important question.
Yes. Minister, my question to you, you've been talking very strong and very firm about Formula One coming to South Africa. How far are those plans for Formula One getting into South Africa?
Yeah, very, very good question. Because, Minister, if I'm not mistaken, you said you've got high-level meetings that have been planned for Monaco at the end of August. Are those still on? Who are they with?
Well, you know, we've already had the Monaco meeting. Mm-hmm. By the time I said I've got high-level meetings, those people of Monaco went to the Olympics. So we had a meeting there. One of the most high-profile people that was part of the meeting was Princess Charlene,
yes,
of Monaco. The princess has put a weight behind anything that can further the interest of South Africa and not individuals.
Yes,
she was very clear. She says, for as long as it furthers the country and not individuals, you have my support. The government of Azerbaijan, the government of Saudi, all governments that are willing to help. Last night until midnight, I had a meeting with the Minister of Tourism, Ms. Patricia Dalal. We have now decided her department and my department are going to do a joint bid for the Formula One. We spoke about it. We are having a meeting still end of this month at the venue, still to be told, with the owners of Formula One, the Liberties of this world, the Ecosteins of this world. We are very serious about it. You must understand, in Hungary, the F1 was there and there's 100,000 local tickets that were sold. Mm. And 250,000 people had come from outside. We love the F1. We think, you know, I'm told that the father of Lewis Hamilton would like to speak to me, mm-hmm. also to put his weight behind us. We've gotten so many good South Africans that said we are willing to help to make this happen. And my term, as I said, will be a failure if I can't bring the biggest motorsport event in the world to South Africa.
Kailami last hosted this in 1993. That was a long time ago. Now, when you talk like that, and the last time we came very close, the issue of greed,
yes,
came through.
And politics.
Greed and politics, escalating of fees and what was needed and who's going to pocket what. When are you targeting? What is the target year of you wanting it to come here? Because we still have to do a couple of upgrades. We've got to meet the F1 requirements that are needed for it to become a reality. So what year, firstly, are you targeting with this joint bid?
Well, we probably target any year between 2026 until 2031. Those are the years we're targeting. You can't have it for 1 year. You have to have it for 5 years.
Sure.
The good thing about the tracks is there's a company now that's building a racetrack in Western Cape, in Cape Town, that will have all the specifications needed to have an F1. And it's not government money, no cent of government. It's a private company doing that. But the beauty of Formula One is that why do people want government money to be spent, let's say, at a Kyalami? You can't spend government money to fix private businesses. Government will not get a bang for their buck. So you can go past Nazareth. We've looked at it around Nazareth. You can go in the Western Cape, just like in the Monaco F1. It doesn't necessarily need to be in a
racetrack. So you can make it like a Monaco Grand Prix, which is the
we
city
can do
street.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
But the most important thing is we should have had it. And I want to use, there were so many bids. It's not the first time. Cape Town had a bid. Joburg had a bid.
Correct.
These people were working against each other, but we're one country. Anybody that has even any hopes of bringing Formula One here, I will tell you today on Robert Marawa's show, sit back. Don't try anything. As the Minister of Sport, I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to secure this thing for government. All the commercial stuff and whatever happens will come afterwards. But don't go because you've been to the altar twice with F1 and you didn't get married. We don't want that. I'm the Minister of Sport. Back off. I don't care how politically connected you are. I don't care how much money you have. But just back off so that we can bring it for the ordinary supporters and lovers of the sport. Don't bring politics in this thing. Don't bring jealousy. Let's just secure the F1. It's not about Gayton McKenzie. Hence, I approached the tourism department. And I went to the minister, which is more senior than me in age and in experience.
And it's the same minister that stopped the Tottenham Hotspur deal from happening and having it like a visit Rwanda type thing. So if she's putting her money on making sure that the tourism sector brings people into the country, it's a different conversation. If you want to stay on, guys, the minister has agreed. We've got to go for another 30 minutes, but join us on the YouTube channel. Otherwise, we'll catch you again tomorrow. It's been great. See you in a few seconds.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
Well, it's a minute after the hour. It is hashtag MSW Barrow Sports Worldwide continues, eh? You can call it extra, you can call it plus, whatever it is that you want to call it, we are here for you. We've got so many callers that are still there on the line. Lucas, Lena, maybe let me go and dive straight into that. Formula One conversation was very fascinating, and it is something that we do want to hear about. Lucas, thanks for your patience. More deep conversation that the world allows. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Robert.
Yeah, you wanted to ask something about fees. Give us a bit more clarity.
And I will. I do. And first of all, good evening, Minister. I hear you're going to visit SAFA on Monday at 8 p.m. And I wonder if you can be the voice for all those thousands of little clubs that develop children and players and don't have a voice at SAFA. Basically, for 15 years, myself and many people that run smaller clubs have been fighting for some sort of recognition from the big clubs of the players that we are developing. In Europe, they have training and development compensation fees that get paid down to the smaller clubs to help grassroots football. In South Africa, we also have training and development fees, but they never get paid and they are never enforced. And every time we try to go to SAFA to say, but hang on, SAFA, you have to represent us. whether it's through our local LFAs or when we go directly to SAFA. You know what? The guys just appoint some executive and attorney that will block us and say, no, there's something wrong with the Constitution, or there's something, and they just block you. So for 15 years that I've been involved in developing players, and how many players we have played in Bafana that have come from our club, and many, many other clubs, obviously, where the grassroots take place, we do not get paid anything for that. The big clubs just arrive, and with contempt, they just take whichever players they want. And obviously, boys have got stars in their eyes when a big club comes along and they just go and we are left with nothing. So perhaps you can be that voice for all of us. And there's so many of us that run these small clubs that develop players to say to SAFA, come on now. You can't for 15 years be stalling saying you're fixing your constitution to align with FIFA's constitution to pay these training and development fees. Even if they minimize them, they don't have to be on the levels of Europe. Give something back to grassroots football.
Nice one, Lucas. All right, let's give the minister an opportunity to respond. I think it's a fair one. It's the second time tonight somebody raises this
point. Lucas, that's an indictment. That's a real indictment.
Yeah.
What I will be doing, Lucas, I would want to understand more. I'm going to go back tomorrow because what I do know, you look at a player like Wayne Rooney. I was on a plane one day flying to Germany with the owner of the academy or the person that developed Wayne Rooney at his academy. And he was telling me that in 15 years, they only had one superstar they brought out, like the level of Wayne Rooney.
Right.
And he said, but that has sustained them, the money they're getting from developing Wayne Rooney. And I think it was in Portland somewhere. I can't recall where he was from. And I think it is wrong. And you have my absolute word that I will put this on the agenda immediately because I would like them to answer. Because people do not understand. Once, you can't kill the incubator. Mm. The people that dish out the players, we need to strengthen them. We need to strengthen them. And I will have that conversation. And I know Mr. Marawa will have me back here. Mm. And I will come with a national answer for the people. And then the second one was also an important question. So I'll definitely look into that.
Yeah.
On Monday, in fact.
With SAFA, with the meeting.
Yes, I will look into it this coming Monday. And then the second issue was raised was this issue, which is the biggest war I'm fighting at the moment. It is the thing that 80% of people cannot watch the national teams. That is absolute nonsense I will never stand for. And I'm going to, you know what makes me angry is the fact that Orlando Pirates can do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Kaizer Chiefs can do. Mamelodi Sundowns can do what they want to do. And each and every club can do what they want to do. Because that's their clubs. They're the owners of it. But you see, when it comes to the national team, the owners of the national team are the people. So we must not exclude people from being able to watch the national team, whether it's netball, cricket, whatever it is, because they are poor. That's what we should not be allowing. We should not allow, and we don't want, for instance, SuperSport to give these games for free because they paid for them.
Yes.
It's not right, but SABC needs to get their act together. They need to get their act together and pay fair value for the rights. But we cannot allow and call myself a minister of sport, arts and culture if the majority of people, I'm watching these games being happy but also feeling a tinge of guilt because you know, one story for me that broke my heart was President Ramaphosa was telling us was our last Lekgotla.
Yes.
He said, 4:30, guys, I'm stopping this meeting. You must go watch your national team. So I rushed to my house. I jumped out at 5:45. Mm-hmm. And the next morning I asked my protectors, guys, did you watch the game? The other guy said, yes, I watched it. The other one says, yeah, I listened to it on the radio. It just broke my heart. We can't do that because people don't have money.
Yeah,
we can't do that, and I'm going to fight that fight. Games, national games should be shown. And that is what I am meeting SuperSport. I've met SABC. Mm-hmm. I've met...
What are the challenges that SABC telling you about? What are their challenges?
Well, firstly, I think there was a big ego fight between... I've not listened to the side of SuperSport.
SuperSport, yeah. Okay.
So I speak on my impression of the first meeting.
Now, just a quick one from a viewer's perspective, and it's quite interesting you mentioned this now, Minister. Lindile Plaiki, who's watching this on the YouTube channel, says, Minister, please leave DSTV alone. SABC don't have the best quality, including the best broadcasting crew, up until you put money in the SABC, because it seems that our TV licenses don't hold much. She says, I can't watch, you know, even Generations. So the issue of, and you said it yourself just now, that SABC need to improve.
No, they have to improve, but it's not that bad. It's not like you're watching a black and white TV. I disagree strongly with that. If you watch soccer, it's not like you're watching maybe what type of TV is you watching with? It's not that bad. It's not top class, but it's not that bad where you have to wipe your screen. We can see the players, whatever. And she can afford DSTV. She's speaking from an elitist point of view. There's nobody that can't afford DSTV that will say what she said. I'm not fighting for the types that wants to only watch top quality. You know, some people fly business class to Cape Town, some people fly economy class. We both get there. I'm just saying that we can't have now wanting to expect the best commentary. Listen, be your own commentator as long as you... I'm just saying that. I'm laughing, but this fight is really a fight that I'm willing to fight.
Yes.
And the other things for me is sup the ones of get good commentators. Mm. Let's first get the majority of the people to be able to watch.
We had in recent time, Lena, I'm coming to you. It's an important one. Was the minister was talking about a fight, and I think the conversation there is about karate. the issue around cricket. So here we are. It's now 2024. We have a World Cup in cricket. There's one African player who is Kagiso Rabada. Of the 11, one black African that is there. There have been transformation conversations. In the past week, again, Cricket South Africa had again talk shop about the same topic of transformation. Since 2013, 2018, they've been having these conversations, Minister. And if in 2024, they're still having these indabas and conversations about transformation, it shows that we are not winning. I don't know what your take is. I don't know how you felt watching us play in that World Cup with just one African black cricketer.
Right. Let me say this. When the World Cup arrives, there will not be one African black cricketer. Let me say this today.
Mm.
And if there's one African black cricketer, there will not be that board that's there right now. That one I want to tell you right here now.
Mm.
But there's another point I want to talk. Everybody talks the same thing about transformation. So I hope I've answered your first part, how I feel about it.
So you would disband the board?
If they, you know, you must understand, you cannot tell me that there's not sufficient talent in this country.
But there's plenty.
So I'm saying to you, we're either going to go two ways.
Yeah.
As the minister, I'm saying to you today, there will not be one African player in the World Cup. You're not going to embarrass the country like that.
We are, because rugby does it. So it's not a case.
No, rugby does a marvelous job, let me tell you. And then people mustn't come with excuses. But here's the issue also that we need to look at. Rob, you know, and I'm talking about boys that I've seen that were world-class rugby players.
Mm.
And world-class cricketers. I think there's something a conversation that people are uncomfortable to have, which is the conversation that being a full-rounder sports person, it's not only on the field.
Right.
It's off the field. It is doctors, nutrition. There's a lot of stuff that surrounds that. And some of our players are not being given sufficient training, sufficient that. I'm just saying that we need to look at that too, that you look at rugby. You know, Rassie was showing me the players he has in the pipeline. I'm telling you, like, I'm excited about it because you see here you have a man in Rassie Erasmus that understands the... which country is representing. But we must not, you know, it's, you know, when they said to me, I stopped one person, which I would not like to embarrass over the show, when he said to me, merit, I said, you see now, don't say that to me. Once you say merit, are you saying that we don't qualify?
We drop the standards.
We drop standards. Mm. Don't come with that to me. Let it be the last time. I don't care what you told previous ministers, but this minister, you're going to say that too. I'm saying to you that people, we are the best rugby team in the world. Where are those people that said, no, the standard is going to be dropped when there's inclusion of other players from different colors, other players, black players? Where are they? Today, we're the best. But you look at South African rugby, and that's South Africa. That team represents us. I already told cricket. I said to them, as the underwriter of this World Cup, which we are, as the government is the underwriter of any major sporting event in South Africa. I said to them, how can you have a board then we don't have representation? I said, when you get after this meeting, you go, we will give you a representative that will represent government also on the local organizing committee. I said, we can't allow that. I am saying that I love sport, but we're not going to allow officials to run over us, including SAFA. Although there's a fine line when it comes to soccer, because FIFA has some rules where they...
Interference of government.
Yeah. But we will go until the line of dead rules.
But cricket is not serious, Minister. I'll be very honest with you.
Yes.
Cricket is not serious about their transformation, and that is why they still, till today, have not won a World Cup. We are a cricketing nation, but we have not won a World Cup. Rugby, multiple times winners, even back-to-back winners, with extremely highly transformed teams. And this nonsense of merit and whatever, those are nonsensical talk. So we've had a black captain who's achieved more than any other captain of the Springboks ever.
In the world.
In the world.
Now, this comes from players from New Zealand.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Australia telling me, Siya Kolisi is the best rugby captain ever born. That didn't come from us.
And it's from achievements. But, it's from what you've done. So the reason why I say this, Minister, is that cricket, those guys are not serious. And one thing that you need to take care of is this thing they call the SA20. So SA20, earlier this year, right? It is co-partnered with the broadcaster, okay? South Africa's cricket team was supposed to go play New Zealand. So you go play New Zealand, it is a national team. It's a test team that has to go and play. But what took preference was the SA20. SA20, they don't have the imperatives of a transformation. They don't have to do anything. They don't even have to play one black player there. They don't have transformation imperatives. But the same board of cricket allows that to happen. The very same cricket SA allows that to happen. So what I'm saying to you, and I'm saying this because I know there are gazillion black cricketers whose faces now are blue and black with the door being shut in their face. Right. And cricket South Africa, and I say this very boldly, and I would dare them any day to come into the studio. Cricket SA, they are not serious about life.
I'm saying to you, I gave you a very loaded statement.
Yeah.
I said to you, we will not go as one black player to the World Cup.
Yeah. They gave it to us in 2024, and that is why everybody is so embarrassed about it.
But yeah, I'm the minister now, I can promise you. But if that is to be the case, whoever you see in the cricket world today will not be there. Because this is South Africa. We must be a team that everybody feels proud of.
Yeah.
And for me, we've got a North Star in rugby. We've got a team that you all look up to. You see the players that's in the pipeline. I'm even more excited about that.
Yes.
Because you can see that people are intentional. Not intentional about black domination. They're intentional about true representation of everyone. But Cricket SA, we had one meeting with them. It was an introductory meeting.
Right.
We've not had a transformation meeting. And you know what irritates me sometimes about these things? It's so easy, they blame white people. But you look at the boards.
The board has got a black chairman. The CEO of Cricket SA is a black person.
But then sometimes you look at them and I'm like, how could this even be a discussion we should have? You blame white people, but the people that has been tasked.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to you, I'm not going to take the nonsense, Rob. Let me put it clean.
No, cricket are not serious, guys. Let's not lie. Let's go to Pimville. Sorry, Minister. Sorry. Sure. Let me take... Lena, good evening. Thanks so much for your patience.
Good evening, and good evening to the Minister. We have a great concern because we've attempted so many times to get hold of sponsorship for children who are representing South Africa in Austria in September. but we are being told that karate is not a school sport. Therefore, the department will not be able to sponsor the kids.
Sure. So they were not able to assist. Paint a picture of what you needed, Lena, so that we, in conversation with the minister, can find a solution. It's not the first time. I know of a team in KZN, in Durban, which is karate-based. They are always seeking help to get funding to go and represent the very same flag of South Africa, but the federation is not playing ball. Just give me a bit more meat.
Okay, so it's the... And then most parents struggle with financing the trips because you have to fund the trip yourself. And then they've got different gis. So there's a gi for kata, there's a gi for kumite. So it depends on what the child does. So in my case, I've been fortunate because my child got sponsorship for the gi and also for training. And then I had to take an overdraft to pay for the hotel and the accommodation. So there's other kids who've dropped out because the parents don't have credit card, they can't get overdrafts, but they continue coming to gym. It's just that they won't be able to go on this trip to represent South Africa.
All right, Lena, let's give the minister a chance. What's your take? The karatekas, I think everybody who grew up, whether it's in the townships and the farms, karate was always a big deal, but it just... nobody supports it.
No, I think, let me start by saying that I got a personal story about karate.
Yeah.
There was an uncle in our, where I grew up in Hedderal, called James Mini.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many people at his karate club. And the difference between where we grew up, if you are part of James Mini's club, you don't go to jail. Some of us did. We were gangsters. James Mini didn't allow you to smoke.
Yeah.
He just, and those men today, some of them are hugely successful. So the discipline of karate, yeah, they carry throughout their lives. You know, one of the biggest complaints I got as a minister, after the soccer complaints, mm-hmm, is karate. We will be meeting with the people responsible for karate in this country to better understand, mm-hmm, this, because it can't be that parents must take out overdrafts. This sport is recognized internationally, worldwide. And I want to promise this to say, we have not set a date yet to meet with the karate people, but we're definitely going to meet with them because the complaints are piling up. Parents are saying, no, it can't be. And that is one thing I agree totally with. Karate is important. Mm. Karate teaches discipline. Karate is a sport. It's a recognized sport. Why is it that it's being treated like that? We can't have strongmen in a sport that decides. And that's the problem with South Africa. You get a lot of strongmen in some sports.
Yes.
The strongman mentality will fall. Because at the end of the day, when you represent your country, when you have a ability to present your country, mm-hmm, that's where I step in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rob, you know, soccer breaks my heart. Because we're supposed to be the best in the world. When you open your eyes, you've got a soccer ball or you see somebody playing football. If you don't play football, your father's watching it. I see every other sport. But we're supposed to be the best in the world. Today, even this deliverables I've set for SAFA to qualify for the African Nations Cup, to qualify for the World Cup. I'm going to be honest with you. The bar is very low. Those are not really things that we should go berserk over.
Yeah.
We should naturally, like in Spain, they know they're going to qualify. That's us. That's South Africans.
But there's something wrong, Minister. You've just come back from Paris. And there's something extremely wrong. And you're right with the issue of football should be doing better. We're not there. We're not at the Olympic Games playing football.
Yes.
You know that there was the Amatluk team.
Yes.
The under-23s. Yes. You know, Benny McCarthy, David Ganamea. There was Matthew Booth, Patrick Mbutu. Everybody was there playing for this team that gave the Brazilians the toughest time
of their lives.
Ever. We're not at the Olympic Games at under-23. So if you're not going to be at under-23 Olympic Games, then where's the next generation coming? You're excited about what Russ is doing because Russ has got a plan. What do we have to be excited about when it comes to football is the big question. We should be doing this. And there was a time Zambia came to South Africa to use our facilities to train for the Africa Cup of Nations. Guess who won the AFCON? Zambia.
Yes. You know, people, simple things. I tell you something that I laughed about at the moment, but I went home while I was in Paris and I thought about it. One of the security guards asked me, who are you?
Yeah.
I said, why are you asking me who am I? He says, everybody's taking pictures with you here. I said, I'm the Minister of Sport in South Africa. He's like, yeah, I love South Africa. But South Africa, they must tell the midgets. Yes. They must come right. I said, what do you mean the midgets must come right? He says, the Paralympics doesn't have one midget of South Africa while all the other countries have. And then I asked one of the leaders in sport there, of SASCOC, and she said to me, that's a problem. So I want to say to our midget, the people that are midget, I mean, they're the political term, correct term. Stop dancing in videos and stuff like that and come and get us more gold medals. Because whenever I see midgets, they are dancing in music videos and standing on tables. The sport needs you. Come get involved in sport. Lastly, the question that you were talking about was soccer.
Yeah.
You know, Rob, the truth of the matter is, and it's not even blowing my own horn, I don't take a salary simply because I love this job.
Yeah.
People say, so excited about the work. I am damn excited. I'm not excited. I'm beyond excited. Because I want my term to be one where people can say it was worth having a sport minister. Soccer must come right. Mm. If they don't qualify, then we have the wrong people running our football. We can't be year in, year out not qualifying. You can't have people that develop soccer complaining that they are being exploited by a federation. Mm. Oh, no. You can't have people that, no man, you know, I look at soccer in our country and we should be beyond Brazil and them. We should be right there in the top three.
Clive Barker was able to do it. Clive Barker put us right there. Put us in the top 20 in the world. Clive Barker put us in the top 5 on the continent. Right now, as I say, we're not even at the Olympic Games, which is a shame.
Look at the sevens. I was in the dressing room. The boys lost 2 games. And then they won against New Zealand. And I had a chat with them.
Yeah.
And I said to them, guys, don't stand back for this, guys.
Go for it. You're there already.
Yes. And let me tell you something. They didn't come back empty-handed. They came back with a bronze medal. And what you're going to see today is that you're going to see South Africa as a nation of winners. We are a great nation.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that people get angry when people speak truth to power. I mean, you, for instance, is the greatest example for me. People get very angry with you because you would call a spade a spade. But if you don't hold us accountable, I'm going to come back here again. You said you're going to bring F1. Where's your F1?
Exactly.
You said you're going to do this. Yeah. Then I can't be tomorrow not greeting you because the things you are holding me accountable is the things I promised. I'm saying to South Africans, I've spoken to the members of the leadership.
Yeah.
I have said it in my budget. I've put money aside in the budget for sports, for school sports, so that we can change once we started schools. You know, today, one of the, I was speaking to the daughter of Nelson Mandela on my way here, and I work with her now on a project where those children in the most rural village are so athletic, and they don't have a swimming pool. And I said, well, we're going to build a swimming pool there. Because we're robbing, here's the main thing I take from the Olympics, the biggest take out for the Olympics. I think we've got 134, if I'm not mistaken, athletes there.
Mm.
You have the USA and all the other countries, like 200, 300, 400, 500 athletes there. I'm saying to Rob, when I left there on the plane, I felt cheated. I felt that we are cheating ourselves out of winning gold medals. Because there are many from the midgets right through to the people that can be world-class swimmers. The best example I can make you is my son. I went to my son's school at the age of 10, and the principal told me he's the fastest 10-year-old in the country. He was 11 years old. The principal told me, you know, he's still the fastest thing. Then we went to Menenberg to go visit. So knowing that my son is the fastest 11-year-old in the country, according to principal, went to Menenberg. My son was 11. There was a 10-year-old boy that ran the hell out of my son like my son is standing still. He finished. That boy outran my son. But that boy that outran my son, the system misses that boy.
Mm.
Best example I make you, I was in Spain with a friend of mine, and his son plays good soccer. And then I spoke to a scout I know, and the scout says to me, how old is the son? I said, he's 17. He says, which, has he lived in Spain for the past 10 years? I said, yes, he's lived in Spain for 10 years. He says, he's not that good. I said, you've never seen him play.
Jeez.
He said, because the system would have picked him up. And those words I took into this ministry. We have great runners, great hockey players that we have never discovered or that has never held a hockey stick because they don't have the money to buy a hockey stick.
So the Argentina game, Minister, South Africa was doing very well in the hockey. I think we were drawing 2-2 by halftime. Second half, Argentina upped the game. Final score, 5-2. It's a hiding. It's a bruising. It's discouraging. But you know why? They part-time, the yes. hockey players. They are part-timers. Those guys, just like the Australian model, where they use lottery funds to ensure that they are in a system that is professionalized so that they can get more medals, like you're saying.
100%.
So if we're not able to do that, we're not able to professionalize the women's game, but we can still get to the World Cup in New Zealand as well as Australia with the Hollywood Bets Super League, which is, and they know, everybody knows, we know that it is not a professional league. The hockey players are in the same position. We have got some of the best hockey players in the world.
100%.
But how do we then ensure the professionalization? And that is why Teboho was asking the minister's role in holding the federations accountable is that we have to professionalize sport.
We have to.
Yeah.
I said to myself, I've got 1 year in this as a ministry. If after 1 year, I like the suit with I opalate. I suits in trainer. This thing didn't you have a second, ne? I'm gonna look at myself in the mirror after 1 year. And I'm gonna come here. And when I say look at myself in the mirror, this is a mirror for me.
Yes.
And I'm gonna come here and you will tell me like I've tried.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. Go find something else. Go back to your bites, go back to whatever.
But there's a lot of politics, as you know, in sport. There have been many ministers, others became friends, others didn't talk to me, and it doesn't matter. I came into this world on my own, courtesy of a delivery in a maternity ward.
You don't forget the parents that made
That's
you.
What I'm saying. That yeah. courtesy of the delivery that came through.
Before the maternity
through.
Ward, there was some love
yeah.
action
yeah, yeah.
that took place.
Yeah, but you, hey, you're going back to Mama Joe's situation.
So, Kimma. Baso, Kimma. Yo, Minister, it's been long overdue. Jesus, ah, God is great. Hallelujah.
Oh, my Jans Mutale, thank you so much indeed. I think what I was getting at is there are a couple of things that need to be interrogated. Cricket is one of them. School sport is definitely one, but you've mentioned the fact that it's going to be your prized possession. I don't know how I feel about, I love what Craven Week is all about. But I am not too sure about the week being called Craven Week. For obvious reasons. The legacy of Donny Craven. The man who once said that no black person would wear a Springbok jersey. Those were his words. And that is why I still feel very uncomfortable when the game is being played in Stellenbosch in the professional league. And they say, yeah, we got to cross now to the Donny Craven Stadium. I'm like, guys, we're going to the stadium in Stellenbosch, because we might as well call it the Louis Botha Airport.
Rob, here is one thing we need to come to terms with. I grew up in a family that was very political.
Yeah.
There's some leaders that there's a place in our history that used to say, drive the whites back to the sea. There were some leaders that, esteemed black leaders, that said, one settler, one bullet. I've uttered those words myself. Apartheid was crazy times. It was war times. Danny Craven said something. I read somewhere where Mahatma Gandhi called black people kafirs. I read somewhere. Don't know how true it is.
Sure.
I just want to say we should not hold people forever to what they've said during a very turbulent time in our history. I have done and said things, and I think that what Nelson Mandela has done for us. We were all happy for Mandela. We were all happy for reconciliation. But there comes a price with reconciliation. There comes a price.
With the Constitution.
Yeah. Except the Constitution, there comes a price that we have to forgive each other.
Yeah.
We have to hold on to each other. And looking back at our history, Danny Craven said no. It's important that people know that there was a man that said that. But then Mandela handed got a t-shirt from a very same white man. What was the captain's name of the Springbok rugby team that gave Mandela a t-shirt?
Francois Pienaar.
Francois Pienaar. I know he's got a charity called MED.
Correct.
M-A-D.
Yeah.
Very good charity. Francois. Now, one white man said we'll never. So I'm just saying there's a lot of nuances, and I can understand where you're coming from. But I'm saying let's forgive. We shouldn't forget, but let's move past. The boys that, you know, there's a minister here. He was so shocked that I know a deputy minister, Masondo.
Amos.
Not Amos Masondo.
Not the former mayor.
No, he was. No. I think he was deputy minister of finance. Okay. Masondo. He's a communist. I always said you're a communist. So his son scored the best try for me ever seen at Craven Week.
Yeah.
His son scored the best try ever seen. A black boy. All I'm saying is that let's move on. Let us look forward.
Yeah.
Let us build South Africa. You must understand, I'm the Minister of Social Cohesion, so I'm bringing together everybody. We're going to build South Africa. It's going to be very nice under me. Hey, people, you are in for a ride. It's going to be lekker via sport. Karate gaat gespeeld worden. Hulle gaat gerecognized worden. Denk like gaat lekker. Nobody buys that. Salute.
Minister, we thank you so much for granting us the extra time. We thank you so much for even stepping in. We thank you so much for being part and parcel of this conversation. Thank you so much for being the minister that has arrived for his first radio interview here. We are encouraged. There's a breath of fresh air that's sweeping the world of sport right now. And I think we need to ride on that. Yes, there'll be a lot of critics that come through. Yes, we will challenge you. Yes, we will hold you accountable because that is what we are here to do. But we will support because we want winners. We want to see South Africa flourish. Let's recognize the boxing. Let's take the world champions. If Nontjinga wins a world championship belt in Mexico, let's take him to the union buildings and let's get him recognized in the 100%. Way that he's supposed to be. And that is all I'm asking from you. You know what? You're a true champ. I thank you very much indeed for coming.
If a champ calls you a champ, then you are a champ. Kenny, you hear I'm a champ.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
In a certain way, you were part of the last group of players to win something at Kaizer Chiefs.
Yep.
So I think if somebody's got a kid, and that kid this year is going to be turning 10 years old, that 10-year-old has never seen Kaizer Chiefs lifting a trophy. That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
And I know preseason is preseason, but does what we saw in Bloemfontein, does what we saw with the shakeup of this technical team within Kaizer Chiefs bring any hope?
The team's back is against the wall. It's a bit tricky. Rally together, good, bad, or ugly.
I think me and Morgan, we used to bet, and he's the one that came with it. Those little things are the ones that made our game to go a bit higher.
Your guys were taking small bets, but little did you know that betting would become a sponsor.
Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW.